We are here to bring you everything and anything surrounding Porsche. I'm Mike.
I'm Aaron.
And this is P-Car Talk.
Welcome to an episode of P-Car Talk. I'm Mike.
And I'm Aaron.
Let's get going, brah.
Let's do it. It's Roger Boy, P-Car Club members. We got Gabriel T, Matt Dub, Leslie N, Chris S, Steve J, Carl K, Ken S, Richard P, Aaron L, Matthew G, Matthew M, Sean H, and Nick F.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I don't recognize any new names, but if we do, where should they go?
If they really want to be amazing, they can go to pcartalk.com and look for it. That's the easiest thing to do. Easier than that would be patreon.com/pcartalk.
You just got the two shortcuts by the man himself.
You can either, just go to the second one. Don't go to the first one.
Just do it, man. Anyways, you went to Amelia. Let's get into it. You saw it. It was soggy. It looked like I was not there, but it still looked like a lot of people had a lot of fun. Let's do the Aaron highlight reel.
So we'll start with day one.
Okay.
I got to ride in a 1980 Visaga C.
Yes.
And Meteor, I don't remember the color now. I got confused because Kevin said it was one thing, and then I think we looked it up as another one. Hey, either way. So it's cool, gray color. Interior is redone. You've probably seen it. Red piping. Amazingly enough, just throughout the entire time, Kevin got stopped all the time.
Really?
People just chit-chatting about it. The car,
Nice.
Color combo, the interior.
Very cool.
I think it was cool. So I got to hear his muffler. Muffler sounded amazing. It makes cool, 991, turbo pops.
Okay.
All the time.
Like off throttle? Yeah. Nice.
That's pretty cool. It's pretty quick. I felt like it was surprisingly quick.
Yeah.
I don't know. It may have been built back to a stock 3 liter, but I feel like it was...
Had a little bit of pep
to
it.
Could be the suspension being a little soft, too. You feel a little bit more motion into it.
That could be it.
We were chilling. He's like, oh, chill, driving up there until we got to some of the back roads, 207 and something up there.
Uh-huh.
We skipped I-4 because nobody wants to do that. Then we were going probably 90, 95-ish.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
All the way back to his house.
So kilometers.
Kilometers, yes, exactly. we stopped at a gas station, ran into Nish for all of 3 seconds.
I
think
no
he was at McDonald's. So, yeah. And then day one works. We did the corral. So this is a pro tip. Unless you really have to have your car judged, just do the corral. We did.
How much was the corral this year?
$101.
$101 to park in the corral?
Yep.
Get the F out of here.
Then you get a cool bag like we always get. Uh-huh. That bag online, $25. Because I looked it up. Had a cool...
3X markup, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, I mean, parking is probably something. So they probably just double their money.
Got to rent this field out, bro.
We saw a wedding venue, and I'm tempted to rent it out next year. There's literally, it's the best thing they could do, but they're not going to do it. There's a big giant pavilion that we all stood under while it was raining. And then to that, you see a little altar thing, but it's on the water. Otherwise.
I think I remember we walked by that when we crossed over the bridge.
Yeah, it's a little out of the way, but not
when we parked on, when we had press parking a few years ago, when we used to go pretty regularly, we had to walk over that walking bridge. And there was that golf, there was a pavilion and all that kind of stuff over there. Yeah.
It's close to that.
It rain the whole time or was it just on and off?
It was on and off, and that was the problem. You can't really predict it. And we definitely had umbrellas and I had a rain jacket.
I saw that.
I met, I wore my little Nürburgring rain jacket. Talked to, a builder. I don't know where he's from, Dusseldorf. He's something with a D in it somewhere in Germany.
Okay.
Talking with a dude. He's oh, cool Nürburgring jacket.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks. Yeah, I used to live near there. He's well, we have 1,500 laps. I'm okay. That's quite a few. He's well, I used to race on it. I had a pretty bad accident. You want to see the video? I'm like, we got a video.
Crap.
Absolutely. Sure.
Walks around and shows people his
I didn't show
crash.
Everybody.
Okay.
He was just hey, let me show you what's going on. And so he pulled it up and he's going down the straight, 320 kilometers.
Mm-hmm.
That's 170 miles an hour. And a 917.
What?
And the brakes, one of the suspension pieces in the back.
Uh-huh.
and it caused him to lose the turn and flip the car.
And he lived?
He lived. He was sick. He was in the hospital for a bit, but he's living and talking to us.
How is that even possible?
I don't know.
That thing's like made out of like unicorn tears.
Yeah, and a little bit of paper.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I didn't realize the extent of his builds because it was myself and Adam McQuiston was kind of chit-chatting with Adam.
Cool.
So one of them, they were both long hood builds, but one of them said turbo on the back. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. He's like, no, it's really interesting because it's twin turboed and putting out like 700 horsepower.
Okay.
I was like, that's pretty healthy. And he's, I guess, pretty choosy on who he clientele for who he works with and all. I'm sure it can't be.
Yeah.
Any type of cheap by any means, but they put it on temp tags for you, so you're allowed to drive in Europe for like 3 months.
Oh, that's cool.
And then it goes up to Bremerhaven, because he said a port, but he didn't say which, but I assume it's Bremerhaven, because that's the biggest one there.
Yeah.
And then comes back to the States.
Nice.
So that was some of that day, but yeah, it was pretty much rain, no rain, hard rain.
Wow.
Yeah. Light rain, misty.
Yeah.
No rain. There was a little less rain day two. So Radwood on Saturday.
I remember you sent me a text or something like saying it was actually surprisingly kind of crowded, right? Like you thought it wouldn't be as crowded, especially because of the weather.
I thought it was gonna be sparse,
but it was actually pretty well attended.
For Radwood, it was literally double because the attendance. It was when the just car attendance.
Well, Radwood usually brings a good crowd, anyways. There was 100. Even Radwood stands on its own. So
yeah, Radwood was 135 for cars last year, and they brought 260 this year.
Wow,
pretty good chunk. And then as far as the PCA thing goes, Kevin and I were talking.
Did Kevin enter his car at Radwood?
Yeah, he did.
I saw you guys. Well, he did that. That was pretty funny.
Well, he was doing that because what was it? Why did we do that? Well, that was for Cars and Coffee. It was cheaper. Well, one, Redwood's done spots.
Uh-huh.
And for Cars and Coffee, you just couldn't get a spot.
Got it.
So that was
so then you went to Radwood and just walked over. Radwood
and just walked over.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So that was the move.
So Radwood and Cars and Coffee happened during the same morning then?
The exact same morning. Okay. You actually get a later load in too.
Okay.
So we didn't have to be there. That was another benefit. So we didn't have to be there at 7 a.m. Yeah. We got to get there at like 8.
Nice.
And so
yeah, Radwood looked in. Like it had pretty good attendance. They had some
It
cool
was
stuff.
A little weird as far as like getting your stickers and things. So they had a separated, you know, where I think it's where Bonhams used to be or is or still. Uh-huh. So you go off in one of those fields. And so at first, and you go through the field, they have a couple lines and you get a sticker. And a little dash thing, and then you have to drive all the way back down a mile and a half down the road.
Wow!
And then enter in where the
this year is the first year Radwood's been there, right?
I think they were there last.
Were they there last? Okay, so second year.
But I don't. I mean, that's what they wouldn't have attendance numbers. They weren't. But I don't know that it was. I don't feel like it was that big, but maybe it was.
Yeah.
Everybody
seemed. I mean, I like Radwood. Like it's a cool event. I think a lot of people can, you know, you can dress up. You know, if you're not familiar and you're listening, what Radwood is basically all 80s.
Yeah, 80s, 90s, up to 99, I think.
Yeah, 80s and 90s cars. And because of that event, like, it's not a requirement, but everybody gets in the spirit and dresses up. And you guys dressed up too, right?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, so it's cool. So it's not only just the cars. And then, like, you see a whole bunch of other stuff too. People will have, like, scooters and bicycles from the 80s and all this, like, you know, accessories. Yeah, like accessories to go with the 80s stuff.
That's true.
So if you've never seen it before, it's actually a really cool event, and it's been around for a while, and they've been doing a really good job with it.
Yeah, they brought out tons of different things, and they got the GT1 out there, which was cool to see.
Nice. It's very cool. So, and then you guys stayed for the whole weekend, huh? I thought you guys
everything except for, that was pretty much the midday. There was the hangar party after and something else, but it was just so rainy and I didn't want to.
Yeah.
It was a hangar party, the one that
did you
Dennis
stay
puts
in
on.
Amelia or did you go back
no,
to Kevin's?
At Kevin's house. Okay. That was the other thing too. It was like an hour 15.
Yeah. But it was probably nice that when you were out of there, you were out of there though.
Yeah. We went to Macoma.
Mocambia?
Whatever that place is.
Yeah.
I always forget. I forgot it and I have a coffee cup from there and I have to look at it and go like, oh yeah, that's where it's at. Got to see Aaron Bong's car in person. Uh-huh. Got to see Ed's Red Bull.
Yeah, cup I saw car. Yeah, that's cool.
Got to see that. You see that Brumos striped car?
Yeah.
You know what that is?
Street Cup.
Yeah, it is.
I saw that.
4.2 liter in that
That's
bad
pretty
boy.
Nice.
Even though it says 3.8 RS everywhere.
Yeah.
There's that, other there's some other boys gonna
get that
some,
under 5.9 design.
So that's a guy that apparently rolled into Jacksonville. I only know him as Chris. I met him once.
Okay. So that wasn't under Harris's.
No, Harris did it.
Oh, okay. So Harris did the car.
He asked Harris if he could do the stripes, and Harris was like, cool.
Oh, okay. But the car was built.
The car was built without the stripes.
Okay.
As far as I know.
Okay. Because
we had Harris and I had to talk.
God.
Yeah. Harris was like, if any car deserves the stripes, we can put the sweeps on there.
Okay.
And so that's how that happened. I was surprised to know it was built, but then I was like, oh, it's a street cup. That makes more sense.
Yeah.
I did see Batim like for 3 seconds, but I didn't talk to
him. Yeah, I saw he brought a car out there, so.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, but it seems like a lot of people came from out of area for that event.
And then Sunday, I didn't do anything because it was rainy. It literally, when I left Kevin's house and had the thought of going, it was sunshiny, blue skies, and it rained. I was like, oh, well, that's my signal to go. There's more rain coming.
That's awesome. Did Kevin end up doing the switch with Chris? Did he?
Yeah, so that's what we did. We did that at Radwood.
Okay.
We right after we met at the old Harris Teeter.
Okay.
Did the swap.
So Chris did come then.
Yeah,
right?
Okay. He was there,
and then he drove
Dave was there from Sideworks. Mm-hmm. Well, they trailered it.
Oh, they trailered it. Okay.
They were gonna drive it, but they ended up trailering it. Dave from Sideworks was there. James was there. I can't remember the guy's name that works with Dave. I know he's one of the shop guys.
Yeah.
But they were kind of looking over, and Kevin was giving him the rundown of what he wanted done. And
cool.
Then so I got to ride in Chris's car.
Yeah.
He kept saying Chris's. I was like, Kevin, no, it's yours, bud. Yeah.
Kevin and Chris's car.
Yeah.
How'd you like that G-body? That was a little bit more that. So you rode a bone stock
one, I got to
and
ride.
Then you ride in a hot rod one.
Yeah,
so short little time frame, like I know you probably didn't get to really like test it, but just like what were some of the differences you noticed between the two?
Well, Kevin's is uber cushy. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Chris's, even though he's got some different interior, he's got Space Invaders, which I called like Galactica. I called it something, and they're like, no, it's in Space Invaders. Okay, my bad.
He's very specific about it. He's like, no.
I felt the difference in just the tightness because Chris has every suspension part that you can have in a catalog in that car.
Just a lot tighter.
Yeah, it was a lot tighter. I don't know. I feel like Kevin's car was quicker, maybe.
Okay.
But I also don't know if Kevin wasn't really driving as fast because it was, all of a sudden he's got another new car.
Yeah, probably. He's probably chilling.
Got a closer ratio or a short shifter in it.
Uh-huh.
So that was something different to get used to. Outside of that, like it rides really well.
Yeah.
Super compliant.
Did he have any remarks about the differences that he noticed?
Not really. Because we were in the rain and stuff too. So I don't think he really wasn't.
Hanging the tail out.
First thing he said looked at the tires. He's like, oh, what are those? And then they're like Advan something. They're not quite Cup 2s, but somewhere on that spectrum.
Yeah.
And then Kevin's like, so about rain, what are we talking about? They're like, do I need to be super careful or?
It's like, you should be.
Or like, he's like, if it's downpouring, you need to like chill. I'm like, okay. Well, that
no
makes
kidding, right?
Absolute sense. He did the Kevin, what do I call it? Kevin inspection. It's like KPI or something, whatever. I made some name on it. But Kevin after purchase inspection, that's what it was. He did the same thing with the car, so he like looked over it. He's found a couple things.
Send it back.
People gave him a couple part ideas too. Like he's got some part that changes how the AC lines route.
Okay.
For one of the cars and some different things.
Cool, man.
Got a ton of asphalt killer parts he's making. He's already sold a couple
prototypes.
Couple mufflers. He's nice. That's the other thing too. Is he's doing his muffler stuff. He's doing another one for the 3.2.
Yeah. Very cool. Sounds like you guys had a good time.
That's about all I can remember. And then afterwards, we hung out the Hyatt. So
there you go.
Yeah.
Sounds like a fun weekend. Sounds like Amelia.
It does. Yeah. I mean, it was everything
sounds
I wanted
like
to be.
Sounds like Amelia. No, see?
I can tell you, I think we said it before we, like, if Moda had sunshiny weather and how much this would be a weird, like, middle finger to Amelia.
Uh-huh.
And boy, did that happen.
Yeah.
And their car Is that car set up there? I think we're.
I'm sure you saw some of the photos.
Oh, I was too, right? Oh, I was looking.
Yeah,
I was looking to see it what's
looked,
up there.
It looked insane,
and all the
like insanely good.
All the people I expected to go down there were down there. I was like,
a freaking McLaren Solus. it showed up. I knew he would. I knew John would pull all the stops out. So, anyways, we'll get into that.
Ingram Collection.
Magnus. I mean. There's a lot of people that were down there, right?
For sure.
Yeah, doing their thing. Not to mention all the people we already know, like Zweck and all those guys that participated and they did their own thing.
Yeah, I was like, watch. I was like, next year they'll have an open house. And it wasn't like a day later. They're like, we got an open house.
Okay. Well, it's easy. Why wouldn't they, right?
I mean, it is such a destination place. I am not shocked at all. And it probably won't always have great weather, but...
Yeah.
The chances that it will are probably more than Amelia, because I almost want to believe every time we've been to Amelia, it's been in some sort of weird, weather condition.
I was thinking about this the other day, and not even thinking about it from a competitive vibe, because I think that's where we were coming from, I know there's a lot of underpinnings and a lot of stuff that goes on that don't involve us and that we don't care about and that you guys don't care about. I think at the overall thing, if they both survive and they both do well, I think the one beautiful thing about this would be is you have a choice now.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Like, you could go to either one. So, if you went to Amelia one year and you're like, I went last year, I'm not going to go this year. So then
it benefits both people.
Yeah. It can keep each event kind of fresh for you. So then you can go to Miami the next year and do that one and go back and forth to be like, all right, cool, I'm going to, I'm going every other year.
Maybe Miami would be too much for you and you want to be a little low-key that year and
Exactly. So I think the benefit from a, I don't know what you would call it, I guess maybe just a car enthusiast standpoint is you have a choice, which is cool. And I think that's very, very cool. And I'm not shocked at all that John put a kick-ass event together down there. All right. So sidebar, you have a new Porsche living at your house.
I do.
Congrats to your other half. Tell us about what, so... We, in the taxicab confessions after hour, we talked about it that it wasn't going to happen. Newsflash, it did happen, so let's talk about it. We don't have to talk about the numbers, but talk about what the car is.
Okay. So, how it happened is we just decided.
Well, the numbers work for you. That's all, high level, that's all that matters.
So it's a 1999 Guards Red, black interior, 5-speed.
Nice.
Which is cool and interesting, and all 5-speed car.
Yeah, that's what the 964 is.
Yeah, it looks, especially it looks kind of like that shifter, and it because it's not the newer style shift knob. It looks kind of like the 964 or a 954 or
the 993. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
But I don't think it's the same transmission at all. I don't know. I didn't look.
I don't think it is, but. The shift.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were saving money if they also had some laying around.
They're like, we got some extra ones here.
So
first gen Boxster,
2.5 liter.
Yeah.
What else can I say?
Super low miles.
36,000 miles.
Nice.
Which I felt like it was one owner.
Crazy low.
Yeah. No one. Don't find that too often.
Man, she ought to be not wanting to daily. I know she's going to daily because she loves it, but I was going to say, man. Go out there PCA style with the white glove. Hey, man, this is an OG Boxster right here, brother.
If I find some way to make it a 101.
Uh-huh. This is the only one built in the month of August at night.
Turns out Build Day was my birthday. It's pretty cool. I don't know if it is or not, but...
It looked cool. I remember getting to see it. It's... What a great car, and, we've raved out about them so many times, and I guess... indirectly, always happens to us. When we probably talked it in the universe years ago, that car came to you, started making its way to you guys probably a couple years ago when we were telling
people.
And she's
been kind of looking, and that's the other thing. We've kind of looked. We've kicked the tires on a couple. But everything kind of looked a little it's older, so it's going to do a little run down for that.
Of course.
I actually like that it has the orange on it for the headlights and the taillights.
The first gen,
it's growing on me. And then I was driving it the other night.
Well, now it's old enough where it's a classic.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, okay, this makes sense.
Driving the other night.
It's gone out now that phase of where it was like modern but unwanted.
Yep.
It's moved into like the classic phase now. So now it's like wanted and desired, and you got a really like unused example, which is great.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of a like a seat rub on the driver, but that, I mean, that's just in and out stuff.
Yeah, that's
driving with the top down. I get the, it feels kind of speedster-esque from like what they model the thing after, because the way the windshield sits and how you sit with the door. So I was like, oh, okay, I'm kind of like
the rake, you mean?
Yeah, because I'm not really, I mean, we're not tall.
Yeah.
But it's still kind of like you're out and about and you're in the elements a little bit more than I thought it would be.
Nice. I'm glad she got that car. It's a cool car. Like, I'm still a firm believer. And even if you guys didn't end up with that car, like, that is such a great first Porsche. Like, for somebody who's,
the frunk is like bigger than anything I've ever seen in my life.
You can travel on that thing.
I don't understand why or how they made it so much bigger than all the other.
Because it doesn't have all that garbage, man.
The thing it does have is a spare tire. It
doesn't have front axle. You could take that out.
I'll take it out. That's weight savings, right? That's 35 pounds.
Well, that's also space.
Yeah, and space. Yeah, it's true.
I mean, it's not like if you got a flat, you would use that stupid thing.
Absolutely not. It's got to be dry rotted since 2000-something.
Exactly. Better save it. That's like a historic piece.
It's a vintage. So I got to put in the storage unit.
No, but good for her. You know, now you're full Porsche garage, right? Yeah. You know, not that that matters, but I think that's cool that she got a cool car too, you know, not just some. And like, I think the also cool thing about it was that it wasn't somebody's like throwaway, right? Like, that's somebody true. Loved that car.
She actually got it from a Porsche dealer, which is insane to say, because it's not the first place you go looking.
But I mean, even the owner before that, they clearly loved that car, right? So it was like, you know, you never want to buy something. And I feel like that is one of those dangers with those cars, because the entry point's so low, there can be a lot of deferred maintenance. There can be a lot of like mistreatment of the car, because it could have ended up in a younger person's hands or somebody who's just not knowledgeable about cars and just wanted a convertible Porsche, and they just beat the crap out of it.
Yeah.
And then you end up with it and have it to bring it back to life, which you guys did not have to do, which
That's
puts you that further ahead in your ownership, you know, like being like, man, this is your ownership experience becomes a more pleasant experience as opposed to be like, well, the damn thing needs new tire rods. And now damn wheel thumps around every time I drive it. Of course, bought it from some track rat. You know, it's like then your ownership experience sucks.
That's true. Especially as soon as she was going to daily it. So that's
getting pretty close to like what it was probably like to drive that car almost new.
It has to be. And what is shocking to me, like, I looked at the headlights. There's not even a nick in the headlights. I don't know where they drove the car for 36,000 miles, but I don't think
if they had that from, like, think about how, like, in how less they drove that car. If they owned that car from new, which sounds like they did, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, think about that. They're like, what, did like 1,200, 1,300 miles a year on the car?
I'm about to figure this number out.
So, like, essentially what they did with that car was, I know what they did with the car, because I think some of the people that worked at the Porsche dealership said it was owned by an elderly couple. So what they did is, when it was a beautiful day or it was a nice morning, he and she probably went out on their drive, probably did 20, 30 miles, put it away for another month.
It's like 1,400 miles a year.
Yeah.
If it was.
So.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So that's like, you know, 110 miles a month, essentially. Mm-hmm. Like, average. Probably.
Yeah.
And honestly, a lot of those mileage probably came in the first 2 years of ownership of that car. And then it probably tapered off dramatically after that. They probably put in the first like 2 years of ownership, because it was exciting, it was a Boxster, they probably put 10,000 miles on that car in the first couple of years, and then 26,000 on it after the entire rest of the time. But good for you guys. I think it was like worth highlighting and talking about. Good for her. Very cool car, you know. You put your money where your mouth is, practice what you preach. You're like, hey, they're good cars. I'm buying one. You didn't buy the S. Well, it has all the issues. No, I'm just kidding.
Shout out to Josh.
Shout out to rod bearing failure, bore scoring, and IMS failures.
We're really looking to take this to the spec Boxster level, so we need to have a Boxster.
There you go.
2.5 later.
No, but very, very cool. All right, so Porsche news. Porsche wins overall in Qatar. Right?
Yeah, so
for WEC.
That's pretty strong.
So apparently,
strong.
The 963 is legit this year.
We figured something out.
So we were hoping it would be. And I think the most incredible thing about that, if you're not familiar with that geographical environment, it's very warm in Qatar.
A little bit, no matter what time of day.
So, and these cars run super hot, and the fact that it was able to win in that super hot environment, good for them.
Yeah.
And big shout out to our good friend Lawrence Vanthor. Larry's been on our show before. If you did not know that, go through the Rolodex. You'll see him on there, and give that show a listen after this.
He's on pretty episode.
I thought you were really going to roll that out. I was like, holy shit. Like, what? You know that? Speaking of hot weather with the 963 in Qatar rolls me right into Sebring, which is on March 16th, the 12-hour. If you're not familiar with that race, that can be really steamy as well. Like,
it might be.
That's like very, and it, we're having a warm spring already, so it's chalking up to be a very warm race, which sucks for the drivers and fans and everybody there. But I would say the one positive thing is the thing ran really well in really warm weather in Qatar. So weather, regardless if it's hot, shouldn't be a factor for the 963, at least. I mean,
do you know the hours for Qatar? How many hours it was?
I don't remember.
I'll look it up. Episode 115 for people that are just curious about mentors.
Almost 100 episodes ago.
Yeah, pretty much.
But yeah, are you going to be going to Sebring?
I don't plan on going to Sebring.
Okay, yeah, I don't either.
As of now.
I feel like that's really a way you have been, and I have been so many times to that race. I really like watching that race from the comfort of my home. I feel like, and I've said it before, I know people love that track. And from a driver's perspective, I totally get it, the historic part of it. But I think from a viewing venue perspective, there's only a couple good places on that track to actually see more than maybe an eighth a mile.
Yeah, unless you're doing the VIP stuff, is a little bit, but then still not, because there's all tents and motorhomes and all that stuff, so it's still not the
So, like, I would say spectator-wise, like, not really the best place to watch a race. They don't have, like, an enormous amount of grandstands, like, the infrastructure. Like,
crazy well. Yeah. Like, yeah, that's true.
It's one of those, I mean, if you don't know, it's an old, you know, airfield. It's a freaking...
Yeah. It's still an experience to do it once, like anything else, if you haven't, especially if you live here in Florida.
Yeah.
You need to go do it, because that's
your hydrate track. Before you go. It's going to be hotter than hell, more than likely. Yeah. So.
And all the Europeans love Daytona and Sebring. That's their two things they like. Like we like Le Mans.
Yeah. Well, I think they like Florida, so that just helps.
That may be something.
You know, if it was just Homestead and Daytona, I think they love that too. So I think it's just Florida, to be honest with you. I think a lot of people fall in love with the romance of Sebring, and what it is, and it does have a lot of rich history, and I do appreciate that part of it. But real world, no bullshit, like being there situation, if it's dry, it's dusty and hot. If it's wet, it's a fucking mess.
Yeah, just holding water. I remember going, I stepped somewhere off a step, and it was like ankle deep in water.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically, and again, I'm not trying to like crap on it. Some people say, well, that's part of the experience. Hey, well, if you like that kind of experience, go for it. That's I'm just letting you know what it's going to be. Like, we've been 10 times, you know, like we've done plenty being there. Again, I enjoy the racing. I just wish it was a little bit different as far as seeing that setup, you know, like is. Mm-hmm. Because I feel like when you're there, you just don't get to see as much. I feel like every time we've been there, where we go is we go into that one pavilion and we watch the race on the screen. Because you can see the race. Yeah,
there, where all the food's at.
Yeah, and the liquor and all that stuff. Yeah. So it's like, all right, so you drove all the way to Sebring just to do that.
The two-story, like, patrol, whatever, it's not patrol, but something like
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that thing. I mean, it's super fun.
Yeah.
But...
Dude. I was passed out last time. Dehydrated. I was literally dehydrated. Talking about dehydration, I think remembered.
You drank like 6 Gatorades in like 5 minutes and felt better.
I didn't feel right. And I was like, oh, I'm going to get some food. And then I walked down there. And as I'm standing in line, I just see like a tunnel vision.
Yeah, happen. I was like worried about him. I was like, oh my God.
I came up there and I was like chugging Gatorade. He's like, what are you doing? I'm like, I need Gatorade right now.
He's like, I'm gonna black out. I'm like, oh shit, are you dehydrated?
And I need, look, and I also need food.
Yeah.
So if you would mind getting me
an IV bag, find one and hook me up.
Well, no, because I was just making fun of the dude that was getting carried off in the ambulance. I was like, oh, went a little too hard, huh? And then I was like, oh, almost that guy. Hello.
Yeah, it's. But anyways, again, not trying to piss on Sebring. Sebring's a cool place.
I just hate everything about it.
No, I don't. I don't. I think Sebring's a really cool place. I just think it's everything. So it's a small track. The best way I can do, like,
it's all concrete. That's not
If you're like the best way I can do, if you're a NASCAR fan and you listen to this, you're diverse. But anyways, if you are, it's like.
Well, thank you for branching out.
Yeah, it's like going to Talladega. It's like in the middle of nowhere. Like, and all there is really the track. That's kind of what Sebring's like. I mean, yes, there's Sebring, Florida, but it's there's not really anything else really there. And not a whole lot's been built since that track's been there. I mean, you've got the one hotel, which all the teams stay in, so you can't even get into that place.
That's true.
And I think you and I, like, I think the last time we Airbnb'd and stayed at Jason Voorhees' mom's house on on Crystal Lake, we were like, we're not doing this again because, like, next time, like, that place was huge and it was just the two of us and it was scary, man. I think, like,
was Kevin West that time?
I think he might have been.
Yeah, he left early.
I think we were trying to get, like, as many. No, he did stay with us. Yeah. We were trying to get as many people to stay with us as possible because it was free, but we were just like, hey, you can just stay with us, man, because, like, there's safety in numbers. So,
we didn't know it was on Camp Crystal Lake or whatever it's
called. Yeah, it was bad, man. Yeah. Like, it was. But anyways, I know there's nice accommodations, and that's a story for another time. But that was – Sebring's cool. It's coming up. You're not going. I'm not going. Definitely going to watch it from home.
I'll FaceTime you when you watch it from home so we can chit-chat.
Yeah, I'll just be getting back into town the day after – I mean, the day before anyways. Okay. So. Porsche's revealing the Taycan Turbo GT on March 11th.
Man, why is it taking them so long to reveal this thing?
I'll just make that announcement, and I have nothing –
Nothing
further on that topic.
And we move on.
Moving on. I found this to be... This is a topic of debate that I kind of want to talk to you about a little bit. I thought was kind of interesting because I was kind of shocked when I had read this. It says Porsche is still having major delays delivering allocated cars. Apparently Porsches are being held at ports, and there's delays even claiming microchip shortages still. So... heard a story. I don't want to even get into the microchip crap because that's a whole nother that we've passed that.
Yep.
You know, that was COVID crap, all that stuff. Heard a story about a newer 3RS having delivery problems because its active DRS wing had failed even before it was taken delivery. So meaning like on route, you know, not being used or whatever, I guess maybe just a faulty part from factory, whatever, it had failed. Now, that part is hydraulically driven, which is basically everything in Porsche's lineup that has active aero is hydraulically driven.
Okay.
My Turbo S from 05 was hydraulically driven, and it was failing. The Carrera GT, that wing is hydraulic driven.
Does it leak? Like all the other hydraulics?
Okay. They fail. They leak and fail. They lose pressure.
Have they ever thought to go to electric?
That's where we're going. you're like that Jimmy Fallon skit, like when he sings, like, where are they going?
Exactly. Is there more? Are there more people?
What town is he from?
Is there any other people?
But what I was gonna say, in the 964s and the 993s and those active, because those wings are active, speed driven. Those are electric. So, to give you perspective, mine needs to be replaced. However, I am under the impression this is the first time it's going to be replaced. My car is now 34 years old before a failure happened and has an electric device. I'm sure there's plenty of people with 993s and 964s that probably have never switched them, and they're still working. My point of bringing this up is Porsche knows this hydraulic situation. I mean, dating back to the Carrera GT, their supercar, it's worth seven figures now. It wasn't then, but it was their halo car then. From a brand that's usually learned stuff, like, why are they still using this hydraulic stuff? Like, it's failing in all the all of the ancient stuff is failing in, and it's clearly already failed in some of the newer stuff.
Yeah, I was going to say the only way that, like, the older stuff would make sense that it fails would be they didn't have a long enough time to test it to know it was going to fail.
But they're still using it.
Firstly, it would probably, it's got to be a downforce amount where it makes sense to use a hydraulic over an electric piece. I would imagine, but then that might not be the case if you can replace the hydraulic motor or hydraulic lifts with electric for the turbos.
I was just about to say.
Maybe.
So, well, here's the thing, playing devil's advocate to what you said, which makes total sense, and you're thinking rationally, which you should be doing, in that situation, why is the fix, even for the Carrera GT, 996 turbos, anything that has a hydraulic-assisted wing that's basically not in brand new in Porsche's lineup, if you're going aftermarket, there's an electric fix for that. And it's actually tested at least to be cheaper and better.
Yeah.
If that's the case, how is that possible?
I don't know why Porsche doesn't buy whoever made it or pay them for the patent.
The only thing is I could think behind that is the marketing behind the electric piece where they're saying it's better. I don't know. Maybe that's just marketing folklore, because maybe it's not better, but it certainly works because everybody's doing it. Meaning, like Doug DeMuro switched his out for an electric piece. So, in order to put it in perspective, if you replaced it with the same hydraulic system that's gonna fail from Porsche anyways, that's like a $17,000 repair in the Carrera GT. If you use the electric piece that's tested. And it, I think it's warranted to not fail, and it's like $8,000 to do, so it's literally almost half.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do that as far as the pricing goes? And, I mean, Doug's not out there cheaping out on stuff that's going to fail. Yeah. He wants functionality so he doesn't have to do it again. I trust that he's done his research and it works. And, like, everybody has a 996 hydraulic wing still on their car, switches to the electric ramps.
Yeah, I mean, because you just don't want to, in the back of your mind, you're not going to want to switch to something knowing it's going to fail.
Exactly.
And then at when? You don't know. It's not like.
And then on top of that, when it fails, it leaks hydraulic fluid all over.
So then
the
it
place.
Gets all of your stuff and eats your paint and whatever, because it's not, that's true. Because you don't, there's not like a mileage thing. It's not like every 30,000 miles you need to change
and
your
hydraulic
thing.
And it fails, and the thing about that, it's because it's a pressurized system, it fails intermittently. So it doesn't fail this all of a sudden. So that's like the worst part. So like anybody that has a boat understands this too, because if you have a power pole, that arm is hydraulically, has a hydraulic fluid in it. And every year in my boat, I have to, not every year, but every 2 years, like I have to get the hydraulic pump and all the lines redone. Mine's mainly because probably salt
water.
But it's still a hydraulic pump. Yes, it's strong. That's probably why they use it. I get electricity, salt water. You don't want to mess with that. It probably would kill that motor anyways. But in rural, like, ground application where you're not by water, you're not by any of that stuff, I just don't understand why, you know, even in the new one, they're still using a hydraulically assisted, you know, I know there's pressure and it happens right away and maybe there's something to that.
Yeah, maybe the electric doesn't do it as quickly or something. Or maybe there's some safety regulation on some book somewhere.
Maybe. I don't know. Or maybe somebody who's working in Porsche is important, whoever makes that hydraulic system for them.
The last thing he's holding on to, he's like, hey, you know what?
They're like,
never.
When Hans retires, we're going electric. You're like, he's been working here for 70 years. He is
and
not.
We know he's 75.
He's not leaving. Hey, you've got to get him. Get him out of here.
Have an oopsie.
Yeah. Make him not come to work tomorrow. You understand? No comes to work tomorrow. I didn't know until I did the research on this for the new one being hydraulic, but I knew. All the other Porsche stuff, because I had the Turbo S, I knew the 996 stuff. I knew the Carrera GT stuff was all hydraulic. I knew that.
It's all same line of things.
Yeah, and I knew mine was electric because I just knew that because I owned it. But I'm just saying the fact that they're still using hydraulically assisted active aero seems kind of archaic.
Let's move on.
And maybe there's just, I don't know, maybe that other place has a patent on it, the electric stuff, and they don't want to give it up, and Porsche doesn't want to buy it, so they're just kind of like, whatever. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the details.
Bet you the hybrid cars will have electric ones.
Probably. Get that fluid out of here. Well, I don't understand it. All right, let's take a break, and then we'll do tax cap confessions.
Let's do it.
All right, we back. Doing the sexy hour, the Joe Mama Johnson hour.
Mike's lighting a cigarette.
Yeah.
Neon lights just buzzing around.
So, not a ton of stuff on this backside, but a little bit of stuff. Some interesting stuff. So, Porsche South Orlando, kind of close to us. Yeah. We have some friends that work there. Yeah, we have some friends that work there. Big complex. They're in the news not because of Porsche stuff. They recently bought